Hey, Bree, how are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you? I'm doing okay this morning.
So when did you
find... Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I got you. When did you find out that you were... that Twitter had suspended you?
So I woke up this morning to emails from individuals who've been following me on Twitter. I have nearly 5,000 followers, so it's not a huge account, but it's substantial enough to have individuals who are concerned when they see you suspended. So I had emails from individuals who had actually had to go through my website in order to contact me saying, why are you suspended? I was actually quite shocked because I don't really pay attention too much to diatribes. I try to put information out there. You've seen me. I try to put information out there. If people have reasonable questions or want to have reasonable dialogue, I engage with them. So I didn't actually even see that Dawn had, I think that's her name, this individual had had put out some, vitriolic diatribe, which I assume that's something that she's been doing recently, from what I've been told by others. Against me. And it's interesting because, yes, I did publish that one piece at 1 Peter 5, but as you know, I contribute, I'm accredited, and I contribute to both secular press as well as Catholic press. And one of those that have been very kind to publish me was National Catholic Register.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, from what I understand, she went after a priest who's a friend of mine, actually, a priest who had come out pretty strongly in support of Cardinal Burke and Bishop Schneider's call for prayer and sacrifice, which is that's what this article that I had published on National Catholic Register yesterday was about, specifically the Holy League of Nations and Rosary Coast to Coast in the United States, which I help engage with and work with Father Heilman with.
I was going to say, tell the audience. Yeah. So we're talking. She's talking about Father Richard Heilman. Just so you'll know, of those Roman Catholic men is one of his sites, and many of you are familiar with Father Heilman. He gave us the spiritual ammo kits, the beautiful St. Michael prayer coins that you keep in your pocket. You know, you're a military gal. You got your SEAL coin or your Navy coin. Well, Father Heilman gave us our St. Michael coin, and he writes about Catholic men becoming men again. But he's also a prayer warrior, he's behind, and he's supportive of, what's interesting about this to me is, you got your Father Heilman, this is like the fourth year Father Heilman's done either a 40 or a 56-day prayer, fasting, and rosary novena, to my knowledge, Bree.
Yeah, the Rosary Coast to Coast initiative actually happened last year, and it united worldwide. 52 countries joined us. We had at least 1 million alone from India. We know that there were a lot more in other countries in the Middle East and others who joined us as well. But throughout the world, we had countries join us October the 7th last year, and we're having that happen again October the 13th. And it's really just an initiative that was born out of the 54-day Rosary Novena for our nation here in the United States. And then a few years later, we heard of Poland doing their rosary around their coast and or around their borders, and we thought that we were being called to do the same. And so, I mean, it's a labor of love, and it's definitely something that has been attacked spiritually. And but this particular group who are definitely prayer warriors, when Father Heilman had heard that our patron, who is Cardinal Burke, had come out and requested prayer and a little bit of sacrifice in regards to this Amazon Synod, because there are very important things that are being brought up that and questions that need to be answered in regards to this working document, as you saw in that article that I wrote for 1 Peter 5. The response from Cardinal Burke and Bishop Schneider is, we need prayer and sacrifice, which is also the response that Our Lady has given at Fatima. And so to hear that someone would have gone after EWTN for, calling out and
I mean, EWTN, we're not talking about right? The remnant here. We're not talking about Louis Verrecchio, and also known as Catholic. EWTN of all places. Go ahead. I just wanted to interject that.
But But, you know, it's legitimate to be Catholic and to ask questions. You know, there are a lot of people who come to this understanding that with Catholic means to blindly obey, but that's never been the case. I mean, with the Jesuit school, possibly, but, you know, we have Aquinas for a reason. Why? Because Aquinas asked the questions taken from Aristotle. So we find ourselves in this position now where there are people who are asking questions, and those questions are rightly needing to be answered. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you are on, you should be able to ask these questions and to have clear and concise and direct answers. But instead, what seems to have occurred, especially with my account, was here I am reporting on this really beautiful response from the Holy League, that, you know, 52 plus countries, come people from all over the world saying, yes, we're going to join in prayer and fasting in support of the church. And the response was vitriol from this individual and others like her, to the point where my account was reported and suspended. Now, I don't know what the end point will be.
Did Twitter send you a note? Did you have anything?
No.
Nothing. They didn't.
Nothing.
Okay. All right.
And see, and according to Twitter's own, you know, rules, they're supposed to investigate a situation that goes on with an account that could be like, you know, bullying or like, you know, inappropriate. But my account, if you go to my account, hopefully it will be reinstated, you'll see that there's nothing like that.
Nope.
And what also is really concerning, Mike, is the fact that I not only am I a veteran, but I also am an accredited journalist. So now, and I have requested from Twitter multiple times verification for this purpose, because there are individuals who are obviously seeking to take down the voice of the free press, and
you better
it's happening, and I think it's really important for people to realize that if someone is reporting on something that's going on in the church, I don't report based off of anonymous sourcing. I report based off of sourcing and then confirmation from firsthand individuals who are willing to go on record or evidence to support. That's just the way that I handle my reporting. So I take a little bit longer time than just to, you know, throw something out there and it potentially not be accurate. So it does remind me quite a bit of the Solowinski 13 Rules of Radicals. And
sure.
Number 13.
Can I just read something from your piece?
Sure.
This is from Bree's piece. And if you doubt what she's saying, listen to this. Brad Fassbender, a veteran missionary of South America, spoke with me on his personal experience in the regions where he worked. And then you give some quotes. It's rare these days that people that are writing articles like this or articles like this actually go to the length of, well, why don't I go to the source, or why don't I ask people some questions and get their take on it, and then I will report it, because that's what a reporter does. Michael Hitchborn and I read part of your post yesterday during our discussion of the Shamazonian Synod. Now, from where I sit, what's going on here is this effort is ratcheting up now because they know, because they issue that instrumentum laboris, they know now that people that are serious about eternity, Bree, and are serious about the four final things, thus are serious Catholics, have grave concerns over what they've seen in this document. Now, I've read it, you've read it, people that we know have read it, and it actually rises to the point of, I got to unread this. I don't want to believe that this is actually even possible. And that's where we are with this right now. It's just, folks, I keep telling my audience, Bree, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I know many of you are not Catholics, and you think this doesn't apply to you. Some of you may even deal it with a contempt. You think it's about time, you know, the whore of Babylon got it good and what have you. And I'm going to tell you something, and I keep saying this every day for the edification of people. This matters to you. It matters to every person on earth. If you don't think that it matters whether or not the Roman Catholic Church if she abandons her historical and Jesus Christ granted role of being the protector and defender and promoter of the Gospels and all the teaching, which is all pro-family, pro-salvation, if you don't think that this matters to you, let me tell you something. You're not going to want to live in a world where she is gone. You're not going to like it. It's not going to turn out well for you or for your family. That's not a threat. That's a promise, because you don't want to return to pre-Christian days. That's what's in play here.
Yeah. And Mike, you know, I think it's also really important because, like I said, I also write and engage with secular press. And many, many of the secular press that I've worked with, Ryan Gates of Epoch News, Ann Vanderspiel, many, many others, people who are at Breitbart, people who are at Washington Examiner, are recognizing very concerning trends coming out of the political sphere of the Vatican right now. And I think anybody who's listening to you will recognize that there is that pattern. The problem is that most Catholic media, we find ourselves in this Catholic bubble, so to speak, of an echo chamber of like minds, where there are individuals who will deep dive into the problems that are taking place in the church. But the people on the outside who are recognizing the problems don't actually understand the basis behind a lot of these things. And I actually did receive quite a bit of feedback from my 1 Peter 5 article, which is surprising since I do write for like LifeSite and National Catholic Register and others, Herald. I received the most feedback from this article, and it was really, Bree, you made it really simple. You made it really kind of profoundly simple, which I'm kind of shocked at, that I received that over and over again from individuals, that they just didn't understand why the Amazon Synod actually even matters or how it's affecting people. And I think that is something that needs to be considered. But I can't do any of that. I can't speak. I can't publish if I don't have my platform returned. And I think that that's a really important thing that people have to also realize, that if our voices in journalism, if individuals who contribute to journalistic integrity, to articles like mine or others, if they are not, they should be challenged. It should be challenged. Where are your sourcing? Who are you talking to? Why are you only providing anonymous sourcing like the New York Times or whatever, right? But at the same time, you shouldn't be shut down for what you are presenting. And my issue was, this individual didn't actually address any of the issues that were brought up in the articles that Edward Penton did regarding, Cardinal Burke's call and Bishop Athanasius Schneider's call, or my article, or the article from 1 Peter 5. Instead, what did she do? And what do individuals who engage in this type of work to try to shut down voices do? They do what Solinsky said: pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. And that's exactly what we're seeing happening. And I really hope that individuals who are listening to you will take a look at what's happened on Twitter. We'll call Twitter out for it, because Twitter also has a responsibility to protect journalism. And they realize that. And for them to hear, hey, why did you suspend a journalist who's accredited through the U.S. Press Association? Why did you suspend this individual without cause? And then, you know, my Twitter handle is at Bree A. Dale, BREEADAIL. And people can tag me for that. Hopefully Twitter will recognize that more voices coming out saying, no, you know, even if I don't agree with her, you can't shut down the press. You can't shut down a journalist for no cause. Hopefully people will see that. But until that time, people like this individual can swarm an account and report it for nothing. And if Twitter doesn't pay attention, they will suspend. And that's what they did.
Well, it's tragic that this happens. And of course, if you had the blue check mark, which they won't give you, by the way, they also won't give me one. They say, if you send as you drive, I said, I sent you my passport. They still won't give me a blue check mark. It's not as though MikeChurch.com, URL that dates back to 1997, 13 years on Sirius XM satellite radio, 5 years as founder and host here on the Crusade Channel. Everything that is in my name, you can go to the Who Is on the websites that we operate. It's not as though I can't prove, because they say, well, the blue check mark is just because you've proven your identity. No, it's not. It most certainly is not. It is a you kissed someone's behind, or they threw you a little, well, hey, let me throw someone a freaking bone here, because we have to make it look like we're kind of objective here. So this whole blue check mark thing is a farce. By the by, same requirements, same thing I did. Facebook gave me, to their credit, Facebook gave me a blue check mark. I'm blue check mark. My church show page on Facebook is blue check mark. But I want to go back to, and by the way, folks, I delayed the news because this is news. And we'll get to the news with Stacey in just a moment here. I want to go back to something you said that I think is crucial at this moment in the history of the world, and certainly in the history of the Christian church, that is of the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and with all Christians everywhere, and with people, as I said, this affects everyone. I want to go back to something you said about people that will dive deep into this, but, you know, we're in this bubble. You know, there's this echo chamber bubble. This has always been a problem. 3 years ago, I interviewed Matthew Schmitz on an article that he wrote about the same thing that happens inside all conservative media circles. It's an echo chamber. People are not actually communicating with anyone outside of the echo chamber and aren't telling them and communicating with them, hey, you know, there's some really good stuff here. You know, even if you disagree with it, if you ponder some of it, you may actually benefit from it. Is to get out of that echo chamber, right? And to get into, as I said, this affects everyone. This is a challenge, and I believe that the forces of darkness truly have mobilized to stifle and to create this particular bubble that you're talking about. This has got Lucifer's fingerprints all over it. I've got you idiots right where I want you. Hey, you, such and such. I won't mention any names. Yeah, you got your 100,000 followers? Fantastic. I hope you keep them. Hey, you got your 310,000 followers? That's about as far as you're going. Enjoy it. Hey, you, Bree, you got your 5,000? I hope you're happy with it because you're not going any further. There has always been an element and everything that we've done here, there's always been an element of suppression that you're not really reaching people that you wouldn't ordinarily reach, because I have 20,000 followers that followed me when I was the Ron Paul guy on the Sirius XM channel. They tell me, Mike, I thought you were gone. I don't see your tweets. I don't ever see your tweets. Facebook, I had a Facebook consultant say, I have never seen a page as, throttled. A page as throttled as the Mike Church Show page. So even when when we try and communicate outside the bubble, they stifle us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's an attempt to try to keep individuals in the echo chamber, and it's also on the left. So let's just be honest. On the left side,
sure,
they're also in the echo chamber of like minds. And what's unfortunate there is that you see within the left, because there's a lot of emotion involved, with a lot of anger within the left, is that things are riled up very easily without actually having a civil conversation, and that's what, you know, our free press originally was founded on, was, you know, individuals who were not doing this for their, you know, full-time job. They were actually, you know, blacksmiths or whatever, supporting their roles in providing information to the masses, in order for the masses to make up their own minds on things. And that's something that is really concerning when we see articles like the New York Times piece that had to be retracted regarding Kavanaugh. You saw the reaction, the trollic reaction against Kavanaugh, you know, and frankly, like, unless you have absolute proof, and we've seen this too with other individuals who've been falsely accused, if you don't have absolute proof in what you're arguing against nowadays, you are going to be labeled either on the right or the left as fake news. And why? Because people are tired of the of individuals, talking heads, we can call ourselves that, whatever, but talking heads who don't actually provide the substance behind their arguments. And unfortunately, you see that more on the left, and that's why I see that there's a lot of that kind of echo chamber. On the right, or in the middle, though, the centrists, you do see this movement of people saying, look, we're going to use new media because obviously mainstream has really failed us in providing us the opportunity to ask the questions based off of solid reporting on, you know, on corroborated, reporting. And so we're going to go to new media and we're going to kind of break out of that bubble. So that's why I think it's so incredibly important at this time, especially for the Catholic media, to recognize the power of new media in, you know, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and utilize those things in order to provide the necessary information, again, concisely on the 101 level to the larger masses, and to engage with people who might come back and say, oh, the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon. Okay, well, let's talk about that, you know, in a reasonable way. I think for the most part, though, people are very interested. I'm talking about people in the secular world are very interested about why there is such a change in the policies and in the rhetoric coming out of this Vatican, out of this Curia, decisions coming out of the humanism, coming out of Pope Francis. They're recognizing a stark contrast between Pope Francis and someone like John Paul II. So they are interested, and this is the time to engage that interest, I think, by providing information about, well, here are some of the reasons why this might be the reason why, you know, or this, you know, his background in Argentina. Let's talk a little bit about that, you know, or, you know, here are some of the policies or the constitutions founding constitutions of the Jesuits. Interesting enough, these things had changed in the 20th century. This is how it changed. These kind of things need to be discussed,
yep.
Not just the deep dive into the theology, because the deep dive into the theology is important, but that goes to the circle again, the bubble, the Catholic bubble.
Well, I think one of the ways that you can we can relate some what's happening with the Shamazonian Synod, or what's going to happen with it, or might happen with it, is contained in your colleague Maureen Malarkey's piece at 1 Peter 5 yesterday, which I had not seen this, but now that I've seen it, where she writes about, you gotta remember Gene Roddenberry's Star Trek and the Prime Directive, where you go to a planet, and this happens in many, many episodes, but the Prime Directive says that we can't help them. We can't give them medicine. We can't give them lightsabers or phasers. We can't beam them off the planet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is shocking, and people should be shocked to know that's why I say you don't want to live in this world, folks, if you're not Catholics, that the Holy Roman Catholic Church and its instrumentum laboris and in the documents leading up to and in what we know, what we've seen with the major players of what they said and what they have been saying. There is now an anti-Catholic Catholic Prime Directive. If you see someone that's in need, that's a native in the Amazon, leave him be. Do not aid him. Yeah. Don't even treat him with medicine. It was in Maureen's story. Where was that story? Okay, and way over time, I just wanted to get Bree on, and I wanted to give her the chance to talk about this and to tell what actually happened. Again, if you're on Twitter at BREEADAIL at Bree A Dale, you can find her there. You will see. We just went and checked. You're still suspended. I think they'll relent. And by the by, did you see Austin Ruse's piece about Dawn Eden Goldstein, the new Inquisitor?
Yes, unfortunately, like, I don't know her. I tend to try to know someone on a personal level or try to engage with them on a personal level instead of going after her. I think that Austin knows her. And they had it out, but I don't tend to like argue with people online, period. I just don't think I've done it in the past, and I don't think it's beneficial at all because people are stuck in their mindset. I think it's better just to have a conversation and provide facts. But yeah, it's amazing to see. Especially knowing that this poor woman has lost her job and is looking for a job. I wonder at the motivations behind why she is going to such lengths to discredit individuals. And so it is something that has to be questioned at this point. Like, what is the motivation behind this vitriol? But I think that often kind of eviscerated her on that.
Well, this is back in August. I missed this. I actually didn't see it, but I'm glad I did now. All right, folks, say a little prayer for Bree. She's doing great work out there. I'm sure is like all of us is poorly paid, if paid at all. So,
and now, not at all. Let's say. Well, I should say, and I'm really grateful for you to have me on. I should say that at the moment, I have done all my work pro bono, or if I do receive remuneration, I do send it on to Nazarene.org, which is my friend Benedict Kiley's 501c3, helping the Christians in the Middle East. I do that. That's my own purposes. It isn't because, you know, they don't want to pay or anything like that. It's for me. It's just my own purposes. I kind of have a calling, and I've understood my calling on that. So,
well, I'm pro. I do a lot of my most of my appearances pro broco too. And if they do exactly offer me a stipend, I most of the time will say $500. Your local St. Vincent de Paul Society, and thank you very much. So,
yeah, exactly.
Okay, Bree, God bless you, sister. I wish we would talk more often, by the by, but and I hate to contact you under such horrible circumstances, but as my cousin Patrick used to tell me in times of strife, this too shall pass, and I know that it will, and there will be a brighter day. You know what? When they reinstate you, you're like towards the end of the first Star Wars movie. If you strike you down, Bree, when you come back, you'll be more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
So. Hopefully. Thank you, Mike.
All right, Obi-Wan, Bree Kenobi, thank you. Thank you for your time. God bless you, and we'll talk soon.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay, Bree.